Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas!
Man, this is something. I am truly just humbled, honestly, to be standing here right now. If you told me a few years ago I'd be preaching a Christmas Day sermon, I wouldn't have believed you. God is good. God is so good all the time. He is faithful to keep his promises throughout the generations. And so it's only by his grace that I can stand here before you and preach the word of God, his word to you. So I just pray right now that God would speak through me, that he would touch you in a special way this morning. I just want to present the meaning of Christmas in a hopefully a unique way, and hopefully you walk out of here learning something more about our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before I begin, though, I do want to say hi to the live streamers. There's a lot of family, hopefully in Arizona, watching right now, so that's kind of cool. I love you guys, and I miss you. Yeah, let's give it up for them. This was our first full year living here in Florida, away from Arizona, and so that's obviously been tough, but you guys have become a family to us, and so we thank you for embracing our family, Amanda, Asher, and little Micah on the way. Thank you for your love and support so that Christmas is with family. So thank you guys for being our family. We really appreciate that. So from the Baumans to all of you, Merry Christmas. All right, let's get going here. So Christmas obviously is a unique time of year. It's a special time of year. And December is just a crazy month. It's characterized by stuff. There's habits. There's changes in the culture. There's things that we don't really do the rest of the year. We've got Z88.3 and we've probably got some pop stations both playing Christmas songs 24/7 ever since Thanksgiving, right? Yeah, it's just going nonstop. If you want to hear a Christmas song, just flip the radio on, and it's probably on half a dozen stations across Central Florida. And to me, that's weird. That's weird because, like, imagine if our beloved Z Radio decided this February, hey, instead of Christian songs, we're just going to play mushy love songs all of February to celebrate Valentine's Day. Wouldn't that be a little weird? Or instead, let's think about this. October rolls around and they decide they are going to play Monster Mash on a continuous 24-hour loop for 31 days straight. Just Monster Mash over and over and over. It's the only Halloween song I could think of. So I don't know. I mean, that would be weird, right? So, but when it comes to Christmas, it's totally fine. For me, I have a rule. We don't listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving. Some of you may honor that rule. Some of you may start in August. But for me, Thanksgiving hits, and then the next day, it's like, yeah, bring it on. Let's do this. Let's throw the CDs in. Let's put it on the radio. Let's hear it. But, you know, it gets a little redundant. It gets a little crazy after a while. And, you know, some of you may be like me, where maybe you start to get a little sick of the Christmas music. Is anybody out there kind of already sick of some of the Christmas songs? I mean, it's okay. How many of you wish you could listen to Christmas music all year long?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So there's, okay. All right, so however you feel, if you're sick of it, if you love it, if you're like, okay, today's the very last day of Christmas music for a whole another year, if it's like, man, I'm going to listen to it all through January, I've got something for you guys. Either way, I've got a little Christmas quiz to get started with. So 10 questions. You can yell out the answers. There's no gift cards to give away like at Happy Birthday Jesus. I'm sorry, we didn't have the budget for that. It's just a little fun to have. So this is going to be some songs that we sing in church, some songs that we would never sing in church, but it's all about Christmas songs. So, question one. In the second verse of the song Silent Night, what do the shepherds do at the site? The shepherds? Quake. That's right. A weird word that we don't really use very often, but yeah, the shepherds quake at the site. So they shake or, yeah, tremble. So they quake. So that's question one. And for all of my family keeping score at home, please be nice to each other and be orderly right now. I know you're competing very hard for this fake prize to win Jacob's Christmas quiz, but just behave yourselves. All right, so question one, quake. Number two, what kind of bird has gone away in the song Winter Wonderland?
Turtledove.
Gone away is the... See, you need the song to... Yeah, bluebird. Man, you guys are on it. You guys are on it. Gone away is the turtledove. Sorry, Mark. No. Sorry, no. Yeah, the African turtledove has gone away. It has migrated. All right. The answer is bluebird. All right. Number three. What does Alvin want for Christmas in the Chipmunk song? I think I heard it. A hula hoop. That's right. He wants that hula hoop. All right. Man, you guys hear the Christmas music 24/7, but you're not paying attention to those lyrics very well. All right, back to one we're going to sing in church later, Joy to the World. All right, so in Joy to the World, who or what repeat the sounding joy?
The angels. The angels?
Jesus. Anybody? No? How about fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains? Repeat the sounding joy. Come on, guys, wake up. It's Christmas. I didn't think it was going to be this difficult. Okay, so let's move away from the church songs for a moment, okay? Chris, we got some work to do. It's in your hymnals, guys. All right, this one's not going to be in your hymnal. In the song The Grinch, what is the Grinch? He's as cuddly as a what? Cactus. All right, good. All right. You guys know the Grinch, but you don't know Joy to the World. Okay, good. Taking notes. All right. Back to a church song. Away in a manger. In the song Away in the Manger, what are the cattle doing?
Lowing.
Lowing. Great. And what does lowing mean? Yeah, I had to actually look it up on dictionary.com. The proper definition says of a cow, make a characteristic deep sound. So there, they're lowing because the cattle are mooing, just wouldn't have sounded as good, I guess. So let's pause on the quiz there for a moment. I have a quick story to tell you about the song Away in a Manger. So how many of you have ever been in a church where the worship leader has all the women sing a verse and then all the men sing like the next verse? Have you guys ever done that? It's kind of an older traditional type of thing. So one year on Christmas Eve, my family always sits in the front row. We're sitting there in the front row singing Away in a Manger, and our worship leader, about to hit verse 2 of Away in a Manger, says, "All the women, the cattle." And my family just absolutely lost it. We're like, what did he say to the women? And so, yeah, the women sing, the cattle are lowing, da 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 da. And then verse 3 comes, and all the men, be near me. Be near me, Lord Jesus. So just, we absolutely lost our minds, and we cannot sing Away in a Manger as a family anymore without thinking of that moment and just laughing our way through it. So sorry if I ruined Away in a Manger for you, but I couldn't resist telling that one. All right, next question. What did Frosty the Snowman have for a nose? Not a carrot. A button, right. A corn cob pipe and a button nose, right. Yeah, carrot, that's what I thought too, but yeah, it's a button. All right, we just sang this one, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Who are the two men from the Old Testament that are mentioned in O Come, O Come, Emmanuel?
David and Jesse,
good job, pastoral staff section. All right, you are on it. Yeah, so one verse says, O come, thou rod of Jesse, and another says, O come, thou key of David. Both of those referring to Jesus Christ, of course. All right, the last couple songs are about the 12 days of Christmas, maybe one of the most annoying songs ever written. Maybe you love it, I don't know. But in the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, what did my true love send to me on the 11th day of Christmas? Not Lords Leaping.
Drummers.
Not Drummers Drumming.
Pipers
Piping. That's right. Very good. Good job. All right. And the very last question. If you were to add up all of the gifts that you received from your true love throughout the entire 12 days of Christmas, how many gifts would you end up with?
364.
Yes, 364 from the back. Well done, John. You win. You win Christmas. Yeah, so every day, so the first day you get a partridge in a pear tree, the next day you get two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. So you end up with 12 partridges and 12 pear trees, 30 Lords of Leaping running around, but the best one, I think, 40 gold rings. Nice little trip to the pawn shop after you get those 40 golden rings. So that's it for the Christmas quiz. Thank you for playing along. Family at home, I'll talk to you later and see who actually won. So there's no other holiday like Christmas. There's no other holiday that takes over our culture, takes over the way Christmas does. But I'm not complaining about it. I think it's actually pretty cool. I think it's pretty amazing that for one month out of the year, Christmas takes over. And to me, that means that Christ really takes over throughout the culture, throughout everything that's going on, in the stores, on our radio stations, everywhere. It's Christmas. And Christmas is all about Jesus. And so for one month a year, our entire world is just encompassed in Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing opportunity, really. It's an amazing opportunity for people to sing lyrics about Christ the Lord coming to the earth that they maybe would never utter otherwise. It's an amazing opportunity. And so I love the fact that all of it, from the Christmas lights, even Pastor Zach's Christmas lights, to the Christmas songs, It all points to Jesus. And that's my big idea today. It all points to Jesus. And that's why we're here celebrating Christmas this morning. So let's go back to those Christmas songs for a moment. No more quizzes, but no matter how you did on that quiz, I'm sure you've heard most of those songs at least and have an idea of what they're about. But what I want to do for a couple minutes is just dive into some of those songs that we're singing today. And I love the lyrics of Christmas. I love the fact that an absolute atheist is going to say something that they probably don't even understand or mean, but I think something's happening there when they're saying it. And so for somebody to say something like, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. What? What does that even mean? That's my favorite Christmas lyric of all time, by the way. Every time it's on, Amanda knows I'm going to get all pumped up. I'm like, yes, that's such good theology, babe. Come on. Are you kidding me? But what is he talking about there? What was Charles Wesley talking about when he wrote that lyric? Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Well, if we go back to the book of Exodus, we see at one point Moses literally asked God, show me your glory. Show me your glory, God. And God says, you can't look at my face. If you look at my face, you will die. The glory of God is too magnificent, too awesome for a man to look at face to face. And so Moses was hidden in the cleft of the rock, and he was allowed to see a God pass by and see the back of the Lord as he passed by. He couldn't look God face to face. And then it says when Moses came down the mountain, his face was actually glowing. His face was glowing because he had seen God. He had been with God. And so the radiance of the Lord Almighty was on Moses' face. And so he had to wear a veil because it freaked the people out. And they thought, if I look at Moses, I'm going to die. And he said, no, I'm not God. You can look at me. You just can't look right at God. God is too awesome. And so veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. What that is saying is that the Almighty, awesome God, the God that Moses himself couldn't look at face to face, came down to earth, took on human flesh, became a little baby boy so that we could look at him face to face, so that we could interact with the Lord of the universe on a personal level. And so I love that lyric. I absolutely love that lyric. That line to me is Christmas. Jesus coming down as a little baby so that we could see the Godhead face to face. Another lyric I love, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. We just sang that one, and that reminds me of John 1:14. It says that the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And obviously the word of the Father is referring to Jesus. And so once again, we're pointed to the fact that the greatest miracle, the greatest event in history happened on Christmas morning. This isn't just some baby that was born. This was the word of God, the word that was from before time even existed. The all eternal God of the universe came to earth and made a dwelling among you and me, became like one of us. And that's called the incarnation of Christ. And that to me is just mind boggling that God would do that. And he didn't do it for himself. He didn't need to leave the glories of heaven behind. He didn't do it because he was bored. He didn't do it because someone dared him to do it. He did it for you and he did it for me. He did it to save us. He did it to redeem us because he loves us that much. Next one. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. And in Philippians 2, we see that that Jesus laid aside his glory, his power. He had it all going on in heaven. He is the Lord of the universe. And he decided to humble himself and become a person, to humbly come to earth. And so I just love the fact that that verse says, mildly he laid his glory by. He could have come as a great king in a civic arena. He could have come in power and everyone could have known about it in an instant. And that's how he's going to return someday. But when he came on Christmas, he came humbly. He came with mildness and meekness. He laid it aside for us. Jesus was born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Another great one. And obviously that second birth is talking about the gift of eternal life that we receive simply by believing in Jesus Christ, simply by ripping open that gift that Pastor Zach talked about last night, the gift of God's grace. You and I have a chance to be born again because of Christmas. And then finally, the last lyric I want to look at is, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. An interesting choice of words. How many of you have ever been pulled over in your life? Show of hands, Pastor Zach. So, Obviously, when you're getting pulled over, the police officer is doing his job to enforce the law. How many of you think, oh, man, I love this guy. He's just going to come and give me a big hug. He is full of love. And oh, this is going to be such a peaceful experience. I can't wait. Come on, officer. Here you go. We don't really think of love and peace when it comes to the law. We think of punishment. We think of our own guilt and shame. Oh, man, I knew I rolled through that stop sign. Man, I was speeding again. And obviously it goes beyond traffic violations. It goes to our very heart. When we think of the law condemns us. The law makes us stand before God and say, I've fallen short. I'm sorry. But this lyric reminds us that the law of Jesus Christ is pure love and pure peace. Because the law makes us stand and face our sin, but Jesus came to fulfill that law and say, I'm going to take the punishment that you deserve. I'm going to go to the cross so that you don't have to. And so true love, true peace comes on Christmas. I want to take a step back now from the Christmas culture for a minute and dive into God's word, because obviously God's word points to Jesus. It all points to Jesus. That's the big idea today. And so I want to take a minute to open up scripture. So if you've got a Bible, please open it up. If you don't have one, grab one under the seat in front of you. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to be reading from 1 John 1, 1 through 4. And if you're using our church Bibles, you can find that on page 1228. So almost all the way in the back. 1228 is where we're going. And if you don't own a Bible of your own, please feel free to take that one from under the seat. That is your Bible. That is a gift, a Christmas gift to you from the cross. We want everyone to have a Bible of their own. So please feel free to take that. 1 John. And some of you, 1 John. Wait, isn't this Christmas? Is he going to preach that? Is it not 1228? Can you hear me? Did I lose it? In my back? Okay. Check. Good. All right. So 1 John, I know it's not your traditional Christmas scripture. You know, usually we'd be in Luke 2, maybe Matthew 1 and 2. But I wanted to go a little different direction. You know, the last few weeks, Pastor Zach has wonderfully worked through the Christmas story. He's kind of debunked it a little bit, made some of us a little mad, told us, you know, things that maybe shouldn't be, you know, like the wise men, I don't know if you noticed, aren't here. I moved them back to the coffee bar again this morning. Somebody put them back here, and I said, no, they're on the far eastern wall of the church because they're not here yet. And so, and when the wise men got there, they actually met Mary and Joseph in a house. Not a manger, because it was probably 2 years later. What? All this crazy stuff that Zach taught us about. So he's done a great job going through the Christmas story. So I wanted to look at a different piece of scripture this morning. And so we're going to look at 1 John 1 through 4. And there's not going to be any mention of shepherds or stables, Mary or Joseph, but these verses will still point us right to the true meaning of Christmas. 1 John 1, 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So keep in mind that this was written by the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. This is the same John who is one of Jesus' 12 disciples, and he was actually a part of Jesus' inner circle of three, Peter, James, and John. So this guy had close personal access with Jesus Christ. This is the same John that Jesus spoke to as he was dying on the cross. He spoke to John, and he said to John, he commissioned him to serve as Mary's son going forward. Mary, the mother of Jesus, would be adopted essentially by John, because Jesus was about to die. So they obviously had a very tight relationship. They were very close. He is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is the same John who received a vision of the end of the world and a vision of the new heaven that comes with Jesus' return and the final judgment recorded in the book of Revelation. So yeah, I'd say this guy is pretty important. And so I want to go back and look at some of the language that he uses here in these verses. In verse 1, he talks about things that we have heard, things we have seen with our eyes, things we have looked at, and things that our hands have touched. And at first glance, that might just look like nice, colorful language. Oh, wow, what a cool way to say it. But what he's actually doing here is giving a deposition, giving a sworn witness statement to the validity that Jesus Christ walked this earth. He saw Jesus with his eyes. He touched Jesus with his hands. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus came to this earth and was a man. And so he's saying, Christmas isn't a myth. Christmas isn't just a feel-good story. That baby grew up. That baby became a man. That baby is Jesus, the Son of God. And I love how he says in verse 2, he says, we proclaim to you the eternal life. He doesn't tell us this is how to get eternal life. This isn't the way to eternal life. He says Jesus is the eternal life. And so the Word of God from the beginning of time is the one who is eternal life. Every other religion will ask you to do something. Every other religion in the world will say, you've got to earn it. You've got to tip the scales so that the good things you do outweigh the bad things you do. And you go to bed at night and you wonder, am I good enough to go to heaven tonight if I pass away? Am I good enough to make it? Did I do enough with every other religion in the world? But Jesus Christ says, no, I did it all for you. I am the eternal life and I give it to you freely. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the greatest gift ever given. And I love the fact that God freely gives it. And that's why we give gifts on Christmas. It's not just something to do. I think we're modeling after God the Father freely giving us the gift of his Son on Christmas. And so we give gifts. Some of you got some awesome gifts, maybe. Some of you might be a little more obsessed with the receiving than the giving. Some of you might be a little disappointed this morning. Some of you might be extremely satisfied. Gifts can be interesting that way. Sometimes they can bring us pure joy. Sometimes they can leave us a little upset. So I'm the oldest of four children. I have a younger sister. I have two younger brothers. And so when we were growing up, as the oldest, I kind of had this running tally every Christmas of, okay, how many gifts did he get? How many did she get? That one cost $29.95. That one was $19.95. So I better get another $10 present if I'm going to be even with my brother and sister. Oh, that was a great gift. Two good gifts and three okay gifts. I better get the same amount. You know, it's just a firstborn type of thing. I got to make sure everything's even and fair. And yeah, am I the favorite? Is there a favorite? Who's the favorite this year? And for the most part, my parents were really good about giving gifts evenly. You know, I would take out the calculator and yeah, wow, they were within $5. Man, good job, guys. But one year, it just didn't happen that way. I think I was about 10 years old and we were opening our presents on Christmas morning and I noticed my brother and sisters, Sarah and Zach and Luke, they were all getting these gifts. Oh man, a great one for you, a good one for you. And then I, you know, like they'd open like five presents and I get one and it was like socks. And I'm just like, I don't care how much the socks cost. That doesn't even count. That's socks. And they'd open two or three more awesome toys, and then I'd get underwear. And it was just like underwear. And I got a couple little toys, but it was just like, this is ridiculous. I got so gypped. Are you kidding me? Like, am I out of the family? Like, are you telling me I'm adopted at the end of this? Like, you don't want me anymore? You're kicking me to the curb? Like, is this your way of saying something? And I was heartbroken. Just devastated. It was the worst Christmas I'd ever had because the three of them just destroyed me in the gifts. And so, yeah, I was just a depressed 10-year-old reaching for the eggnog, didn't know what to do. It was just rough. But then, for some reason, my parents decided we all needed to go outside. Let's all go outside. Let's play with Sarah and Zach and Luke's new toys outside. Great. Yeah, that's all I want to do right now is watch them enjoy all their awesome toys. No, I don't want to go outside. No, come on. Let's go outside. And then it turned into, yo, you're going outside. Fine. Let's go outside. I walked outside and there it was. A brand new 10-speed bike. And my worst Christmas ever became my best Christmas ever in a moment. In just a moment, it went from total depression to total elation, just like that. And that's Christmas. That's the greatest gift ever. James says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, and the gift of Jesus Christ is the greatest gift of all time. Your Father in heaven knows exactly what you need before you even ask. He knows what you need right now. And so maybe you're feeling like I did. Maybe you're feeling left out. Maybe you're feeling like the rest of the world is just doing so much better. They've been given opportunities. They've been given the job that I wanted. They've been given the person to spend their life with, and I'm alone. They've been given this and that. And here I am depressed, and I haven't been given a chance. But then God the Father shows up and says, I love you. Here's the greatest gift of all time. And in an instant, it all changes. That's God's grace, because it all points to Jesus Christ. And the thing about God's grace is that it came at just the right time. I know some of you were probably up last night putting together toys or wrapping things, or maybe you've done that in years past, because on Christmas Eve, that's your last chance. You've got to have the presents under the tree on Christmas morning, right? If Amazon shows up tomorrow, they messed up. If the UPS guy comes with a package, it could be the greatest gift in the world, but man, it's the 26th. Where were you 2 days ago? And nothing changed. The gift that was delayed a couple days is still the same gift. The contents of the package haven't changed. What matters is the timing. And that's why we stay up on Christmas Eve putting together the bike or the desk or wrapping the presents last minute, because Christmas morning is all about the timing. And there's an amazing piece of scripture that shows us that God is all about the timing too when it comes to the very first Christmas. Galatians 4:4-5 says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. When the set time had fully come. So how many of you have ever experienced something that happened at just the right time? Yeah, it was just perfect timing, right? So I would say that when I met my wife, Amanda, that was just the right time, right? I mean, yeah, perfect timing. God obviously had a plan. The thing is, when I met Amanda on March 26, 2010, I was wearing makeup. Yeah. So yeah, that seems like not the greatest timing in the world. I had been in a play earlier that night. No, it's true. I don't just wear makeup. No, I was in a play. And for some reason, I didn't wash my face after the play was over. That's weird too, but I went over to a friend's house, and that's when I met Amanda for the very first time. So God had perfect timing, even though I was a mess. I looked like an idiot. I was wearing makeup, and she didn't like me at all at first. So in the end, though, I can see that it was God's perfect timing. And that's what we see on the story of Christmas. I'm reminded of this in the song, O Come Emmanuel. It says, ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here. And so we know Israel has been through a troubled past. They've been slaves in Egypt. They were taken captive and moved to Babylon. They have had a rough history. And in the 400 plus years leading up to the birth of Christ, they haven't even heard from God. They haven't had an angel reveal any message. The prophets have ceased. It's been a dark time for the nation of Israel. But the song continues. The song continues. It says, until the Son of God appear, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to you. And so at just the right time, God sent his son to us. And at just the right time in your life, I think that happens as well. And so if you're a mess like I was the day that I met Amanda, it doesn't matter, because the time is up to God and his timing is perfect. And so I love we sing it. We sing rejoice, rejoice, because the long-awaited Messiah has come into our world at just the right moment. We know that he came as a baby. We know that he was born, and it's not a myth. The incarnation of Christ, fully God, fully man in a tiny little baby. I can't explain it much more than that. I don't really even fully get it myself, but I think that's the point. It's a mystery. It's a miracle. But we know that little baby grew up. We knew that little baby lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He was tempted. He was tempted by the devil himself. He could have turned rocks into bread to eat, and he didn't do it. He could have jumped off a building and angels would have caught him, but he didn't do it. He was tempted in every way that we've been tempted, but he did not sin. And yet, he was condemned to die on the cross. Our church is called the cross. And the reason we're called the cross is because we know that's where Jesus went to pay the price that we deserve. He died on the cross for our sins. But we know the story doesn't end there. As Zach said, there was a party for the devil on Saturday, but on Sunday, we had the party. God the Father rose Jesus Christ in victory. And that is the good news. Amen. Amen. Let's give it up for that. That is good news. And so this Christmas sermon has become an Easter sermon because it doesn't stop on Christmas. God finished the story. God finished the story. And so that good news is why we can rejoice together this morning. The amazing thing about the word rejoice, if you look right in the middle of it, there's the word joy. And so I want to tell you one final story before we finish that brings me a lot of joy. We have a 2-year-old son, Asher, and he is obsessed with the alphabet. He calls them the ABs. He doesn't have time to say C. It's just the ABs. So he loves the ABs. So if he was in here right now, it'd be M-E-R-R-Y. He just always reading letters. We'll put him down for bed and he'll ask me to sing the ABCs. He doesn't want Jesus Loves Me. He wants the ABC song. And then we'll put him down to bed and Amanda and I can hear him just saying the ABCs. He probably says the ABCs about 100 times a day. He is obsessed. And so when we put up our Christmas decorations, a lot of them had various words on it. You know, there's things like Merry Christmas and different signs and the hand towel. And he loved running around the house. Oh my gosh, look at this, M-E-R-R-Y. Oh man, look at that, I can spell. And he can spell some words. He can spell things like his name. So he'll say A-S-H-E-R. And I'll say, what's that spell? Asher, Asher, Asher. And he's just so proud. And so he's learned Asher. He's learned Jesus. He knows how to spell Jesus. He knows how to spell his little brother's name, Micah. Micah's not even born yet, and he knows how to spell his name. And so Asher was running around looking at all the decorations in the house, and we have a sign and a hand towel that say joy. And so he ran up to the hand towel on the stove, and he said, J-O-Y. I said, what's that spell, buddy? He said, Jesus. And I can't make that up. It happened. And I'm just like, God, that is the greatest thing ever. And so my initial thought was, no, I got to correct you. That's joy, buddy. And then it hit me. J-O-Y spells Jesus. And so my little 2-year-old boy taught me something very special this Christmas season. It all points to Jesus. Jesus is our joy. And joy isn't just a feeling. It's beyond happiness. It's beyond just feeling good. It's a glorious expression of God's love. And so we're here today to rejoice, to celebrate the fact that it all points to Jesus. The lights, the songs, the stories, the cookies, it all points to Jesus because J-O-Y spells joy. And so this Christmas season, on this Christmas morning, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He is your J-O-Y. Amen. Let me pray. Lord God, I thank you and praise you for being the God who does miracles, the God of the universe, whose glory is too great for us to even face. Yet you sent your son, Jesus Christ, in the form of a tiny baby, veiled in flesh, so that we could see you, touch you, feel you, because you wanted a relationship with us. You wanted to redeem your lost people. You wanted to restore us and save us from exile. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this world. Thank you for setting aside your glory. Thank you for being so humble to do such a thing for us. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising again in victory so that the gift of J-O-Y is ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.